My next guest is on the line. He is Sam Silverman. He came my way due to the modern world we live in, where some reel or thread or whatever it is popped up on my social media, and I found out that there is, in fact, a Bagel King in New York City. And I guess that if you are the Bagel King in New York City, that makes you the Bagel King of the planet, because where else are you going to get a better bagel? Sam Silverman, I am so happy that you have agreed to talk to me. Thank you for being on Chai FM this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me. I love talking bagels in New York and around the world.
Well, more than that, I'm just going to say, so while you were waiting for me, my listeners don't know this, but you did sort of, you turned your phone, because we're doing this via Zoom, and I got the most quintessential look at New York City that I've seen for a very long time. It looks like you're probably in Chelsea or the Village or the Lower East Side or something, but it just is so appropriate that we're going to be talking bagels to you where you are now. So, yeah, you made
100%. I'm standing outside a bagel shop. Where else could I be?
Absolutely perfect. Okay, so let's get the historical part out of the way first. One of the shocks that I had looking at your thread on my social media was that it really is a Jewish thing, a bagel. Tell us why.
100%. Yeah, so bagels originated in Poland around the 17th century, and it was born as a response to anti-Semitic laws that prevented Jewish bakers from making bread. And this was primarily to prevent competition with Christian bakers, although there were just lots of restrictions on what Jews could do for work, where they could live. And as a result, you know, the Jewish community had to band together and come up with a clever solution to get around this very restrictive law, and decided they would boil their bagels.
Amazing.
Boil their dough, and that's how the bagel was born. So it was really just out of necessity for the Jewish community over 400 years ago in Poland, and it's been a cultural part of Jewish cuisine ever since.
So thank you for clearing that up, that a bagel is in fact a Jewish cultural treasure. It is ours, we can claim it, because we had to boil it for tax reasons or whatever else that they had to do.
100%, yes.
Does the process of boiling actually alter the consistency of the dough? Does it make it any different to if you weren't going to boil it?
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, the boiling is the key step in the process that differentiates bagels from other types of bread. And the result of the boil, you get a crunchy outside and a soft, chewy inside. And it's that beautiful textural contrast that makes a fresh bagel so uniquely appealing, a good fresh bagel. So the boiling is absolutely essential. And if you don't boil your bagel, it's
not
a
roll.
Real bagel.
Exactly.
It's a roll with a hole.
Exactly. Thank you for clearing that up. You've made my life a lot simpler, and I get it now. What I also want to know is, why is it that when I am in New York, and it's not been too often, but when I am, the bagels there just seem to be so much better than anything I've had anywhere else? It's not as though South Africa's not as good, or Israel's not, no one is as good as New York. The question is why, but I would like you to address the Montreal debate, because apparently there's some controversy about that issue.
Sure. So a lot of people think it's the New York water that makes the New York bagel so special, but I'm here to tell you it is not the water. It's in fact the people. We have a storied history of a very skilled labor that dates back to the Bagel Bakers Union, Local 338, which existed in New York in the Lower East Side. It was a group of 300 Polish immigrants that conducted their meetings in Yiddish and really standardized the process of bagel making here in New York City and made it really a part of New York's culinary fabric. And they've passed that knowledge down to other immigrant communities who now excel at making bagels. So we have a pool of mostly Hispanic and Thai bagel makers nowadays who are the unsung heroes of the bagel industry. And they are the reason that the bagels in New York are so great. All they do all day and every day is make the dough and shape the dough into that beautiful ring shape that you just can't get anywhere else. So it's not the water, it's the people. And the same can be said in Montreal. So, you know, when Polish Jews were forced from their homes in the 1800s due to the pogroms, they moved to places like London, Montreal, New York City. And every place that they immigrated to, they brought bagels with them. Because when you move to a new place, what's your connection to home but through food?
Correct.
In New York and in Montreal, they develop different techniques and styles of making the bagels that have evolved over time. And we do have a bitter rivalry, I would say, between the two cities. It is a very one-sided rivalry, in my opinion, although I do love and respect Montreal bagels. But they make theirs with eggs and honey, no salt. They bake them in wood-fired ovens. In New York, ours are a little more flavorful, a little bigger, and a little more versatile. So you can turn them into a sandwich, or you can eat them on their own, or with cream cheese, really, however you want to.
So,
but, yeah.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about the hole, because it seems to me that the hole is actually just gets in the way of giving you a clean, proper sandwich. Where do you stand on the hole, and does that make a bagel a bagel?
So the hole is a very important part of a bagel. You need it to expose enough surface area so that the bread will bake all the way through. If you boil just a ball of dough with no hole in the middle, you're going to get raw dough on the inside by the time that the crust is burnt. So you need that hole. And in fact, when bagels were first invented, there were no bagel shops, okay? They were sold on street corners by bagel peddlers, and they would use that hole to their advantage. They would string them up or put them on dowels and stand on the street to sell them. So it's convenient and it's necessary, and you can't have a real bagel without the hole. That said, just because it has a hole doesn't make it a bagel. Again, we need to make sure that it's boiled before it's baked. That is the other key characteristic of an authentic bagel.
I'm just loving this conversation. It is just explaining my own heritage to me. It's absolutely remarkable. What's your stories with a bagel? How on earth did you become the bagel king?
So bagels have always been my favorite food. I grew up outside of New York. I grew up in Massachusetts and Minnesota and Israel. And nonetheless, my family called me a bageltarian because I had one with virtually every meal. So after I graduated from college with a math degree and got a job at a hedge fund in New York City, I moved down here and just completely fell in love with the bagel scene and just started exploring, and along the way realized New York had never had a bagel festival, which was crazy because there's a festival for pickles and coffee and hot sauce and every food and culture you can imagine, but not for New York's most iconic food. And so 8 years ago, I set out to start New York's first bagel fest. Over the years, it's grown and become the premier trade and consumer show for the bagel industry. We have bagel makers from all over the world. We actually might still have one from South Africa, Montreal Bagel and Coffee, who's flying up this year to participate in it. And it's really helped become this platform to highlight not just the bagels, but the community and the people behind it. And so I quit the corporate world 3 years ago. I'm full in on bagels.
Really
promoting this food around the world.
No way.
And yes, I mean, you've called me the Bagel King, but I prefer the title Bagel Ambassador. That's
the Bagel
how
Ambassador.
I see my
we'll
role.
Go with that.
I want to.
How disappointed are your parents with you?
On
a scale of 1 to 10.
It was a tough conversation, but now that they've seen the impact that we've made and the joy that our events, we teach classes, we run tours, we do consulting, we do our big bagel festival, and they've really seen the impact that we've made. And they're all in on it. And by the way, my dad is from Johannesburg. So,
no way.
This
for real?
Yeah. Goodness. So this is, very, very full circle conversation for me as well.
Oh, that is just, you've made my day. Now let's get into the technicalities of it. What is a sin to put on a bagel? What's the perfect bagel?
So I think the perfect bagel is going to have, my go-to order is an everything bagel with scallion cream cheese. And you should never get it toasted. But if you want to feel fancy, you're going to load it up with lox and tomato, onion, caper, cucumber. I think that's like the quintessential New York order. The only thing that I don't like a sweet bagel. So sweet bagels were invented to get the, it's very goyish. It was invented to get Gentiles to buy bagels. And so it's not been a part of New York or Jewish culture. So I'm not particularly a fan of sweet bagels. I think anything savory that you want to put on a savory bagel is fine by me. I've seen the wildest creations that you could imagine. But the beauty of the bagels is there's a perfect combination for each and every one of us. I told you I had a math degree. I've crunched the numbers. In a standard New York bagel shop, there's 168 million unique sandwiches that you can construct. And out of all of those, there's the perfect one for each and every one of us. And that level of personalization is something you just don't get with any other food in the world, and why I think people have such a strong attachment to this amazing food.
What I'm trying to get my head around is why it is the success that it is. I mean, the whole world's gone keto. Who eats a carb? Nobody does that anymore. If they do, maybe it's a bit of sourdough because apparently there's some benefit in eating sourdough. But for the rest of it, who eats a bagel anymore? And how is it possible that in New York there are, well, how many shops are there? How many bagels are being sold in New York City in any one day? Do we know? And why are they eating them?
It's in the millions, and we have over 500 bagel shops that make their bagels on site, and then we have hundreds, if not thousands, more cafes and bodegas and delis that sell bagels as well. Part of the reason, it's a very convenient food. It's delicious. It's affordable. You can eat it on the go in a city like New York that is so expensive and so, you know, the city that never sleeps, right? Mm-hmm. Like people are always rushing to work, to school. You need something that is convenient, that is filling, and that's affordable and delicious. So I think all these factors have kind of made the bagel a staple part of New York City. And now, thanks to social media and the internet, it has some sex appeal. It's a very interesting food, interesting bread. And so we're seeing bagel makers all over the world.
I wanted to get political about that for just a moment, because I was wondering whether the encampments in Colombia, whether they got hungry and whether they ordered out for a bagel or not.
I think there was actually a little bit of controversy where I don't remember off the top of my head, but there was something about them eating bagels while they were protesting and the irony of that. So look, the beautiful thing about the bagel, it's an extremely egalitarian food. I always say that no matter your socioeconomic class, your race, your anything, we can all agree or disagree on bagels. That is the one food, the unifying treasure that brings the city together, binds us together. And that's what we celebrate at Bagel Fest and through our bagel classes and tours. And it's a really, really special thing.
Just staying on the political aspect of it for just one moment. I remember being in the States. My sister lives in New York City. And we walked past a store that was advertising a BLT bagel. And she got really offended. She felt that this was cultural appropriation. How dare you put a bacon, lettuce, and tomato bagel? It's just not done. This is not something you do. Me, on the other hand, I thought, well, isn't this what it's all about? Living in a multicultural society where we take the best from each other and create something new. What's your stance on this?
Oh, definitely. I agree with you. I think that the bagel is a canvas. And so the interesting thing is to see how other cultures have taken it and to infuse their own culinary twist into it. So one of my favorite bagel shops is Jewish Taiwanese fusion. Another one is a Jewish Korean fusion. And it's so fascinating to me to see how people can take this beautiful bread and construct things that are both honor the Jewish heritage and their own culture. And it's this wonderful way to bring people together in a world that sorely needs it. We've never been more divided, but we can all come together through bagels. That's the key.
Oh, I love this. I've had a smile on my face for the last 9 minutes. That is for absolute sure. Final question to you. Use this opportunity to shamelessly promote yourself. Where can we find you, follow you, see what it is that you do?
I am Bagel Ambassador on Instagram and TikTok. Follow me on there. I post bagel content, bagel news, bagel reviews all the time. And maybe not this year, but next year, you can plan to come out to our New York Bagel Fest. It takes place at Citi Field in Queens, where the New York Mets play. And it's truly the most wonderful day of the year. We have people, bagel lovers, bagel enthusiasts from all over the world who fly in for a weekend of tastings and events and competitions. And it just doesn't get any better than that. So,
Sam Silverman,
hope to see you there.
I have loved every moment of my discussion with you this afternoon. Who knew your father was from Joburg? That's just the cherry on top of the cake. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.